in the studio, Representative Tony Guerra, Democrat from Rocky Hill, co-chair of the legislature's Transportation Committee.
And the leading advocate in tolls, he's in our Touchpoints Rehab Interview Chair, Representative Guerra. Good morning.
Good morning. Right, good morning.
He's got his jeans on and everything.
I'm casual today, guys. That's it. What an honor for me to be here with you two.
Well, the honor is ours. We'll take phone calls, by the way, if you have questions about tolls. Now's the time to call 888-574-2723. Where does the issue stand on tolls now? It passed out of the Transportation Committee, right?
Yes, it did, gentlemen. The obviously, as you all know, that the toll bill came out of the Transportation Committee last week. And right now, it's either going to go to the floor of the House or to some other committees, which I feel is probably going to have to go to finance, where they'll take a look at it because it's got some revenue-generating monies that are incorporated in this piece of legislation.
Now, you got a break last night because GAE, another committee, passed a constitutional amendment that would include a lockbox, right?
Yes.
Now,
yes.
The lockbox. Get right into that mic, by the way.
Yes,
the lockbox,
great.
Will it work? I mean, these are some of the things people get nervous about.
It is, you know, and let's be clear here. A lockbox, obviously, there's proponents for it and against it. And when I say against it, because some people feel as though that if we put all this money in there, God forbid we need it for an emergency purpose, we can't get to it. While the other proponents for it say that we should have a lockbox that's used for our roads and for our bridges and to make it as strong as possible so we can't get to it. But let me just say this, based upon, as you all know, that I am a huge proponent of electronic tolling, that the Federal Highway Administration has told us in no way, if and buts about this, that once we put up electronic tolling, all that revenue has to go back to the Special Transportation Fund box and cannot be used, let me say this very clear, cannot be used for anything but our toll roads, highways, bridges, infrastructures. You can't divert that money at all, not even one penny, because if we do, we would lose federal highway funds. So there is no lockbox stronger than what the feds have told us.
So that is something that we haven't known before.
Right. And we've also heard, because we're still getting calls from people who say, we're going to end up forfeiting the money we got from the federal government when we remove tolls, and you're certain that's not going to happen.
I am absolutely sure. We have met with the Federal Highway Administration. Congressman Larson invited us up to Washington. The commissioner from the Department of Transportation, we can put up electronic tolling and not lose one penny of federal highway funds. We have worked on this for a number of years. These are some of the issues that were thrown at us. You don't lose federal highway funds. Connecticut residents can get a discount, all right, by using the roads in Connecticut. And also, we lowered the gas tax by 2.5 cents, which basically now starts to put us in a picture of Connecticut being one of the lower states with a gas tax rather than one of the highest ones in Connecticut.
Okay, let's get to the phones. Joe in Harwinton. Joe, good morning, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, I'm from the toll capital of the world, New Jersey. And what you're saying is, honestly, I hate to say it, but it's completely disingenuous. Mainly because what happened with our gas tax? Wasn't our gas tax supposed to be in a lockbox? And what happened with that? It went to the general fund. So what is to let us believe you that this time you mean it? And not only that, you know,
but the federal, didn't you hear what he said? He said the federal government.
So basically, I'm going to basically save maybe 40 cents every time I fill up. Big whoop.
Well, let him answer the question.
Let him answer the question, okay?
Sure. Well, thank you for the question, Joe. Listen, Joe, I understand some of the concerns, all right? We did have a lockbox. You're absolutely correct. Back when the Myers Bridge collapsed, we had a lockbox. But what happened was that because of budget issues, they went into it and they raided it. You're absolutely correct. This, as I stated before, Joe, if we end up putting electronic tolls, you cannot divert that money. You cannot. Because the Federal Highway Administration has strict rules with that. You can only use it again for I-95, I-84, whatever those gantries are put up. That's where it's used for fixing those roads, fixing those bridges. We can't divert it because we can't afford to lose one penny of federal highway funds that come to the state of Connecticut.
Well, let me put this to you too. I would actually, you know, possibly go along with it if the legislature would actually exhibit one iota of fiscal responsibility. Because, you know, again, I know what you're saying, but, you know, this time you mean it. But, I mean, again, you know, this time you mean it. Why couldn't that have been done with our gas tax funds? Why? Why can't you just basically take those gas tax funds back and put it what it's supposed to go to, and then you won't need the tolls? What? And not only that, but you know how much it costs to cross the George Washington Bridge nowadays? It costs upwards of about
a lot of money,
between $10 and $15.
Yeah.
And you know, it started at maybe a few dollars. So, I mean, yeah, you say, you know, maybe we'll get a discount, you know, okay, maybe a big 10% discount. But once those tolls get jacked up, and once the legislature sees how much money gets raked in and licks their chops, mark my words, anybody who votes for this, anybody who is for this, is going to regret it till the day that they die.
All right, Joe, thanks. Thanks,
Joe, thank you. We got a lot of calls coming
in. This is what you have to deal with, though. It is a credibility issue, Tom.
Yeah, it is. It is, gentlemen. And that's why, listen, I can't go back to what happened years ago.
When you weren't.
All right. I've been in that Capitol now for almost 18 years. All right. And I agree. We shouldn't, you know, what happens when times get tough, you know, whether it was the past governors, present governors, we look for some money to try to offset that. What Joe was saying, that why did we do that? We did it to balance the budget. That's what we did, to help balance the budget. But today, the gas tax, we have to realize, isn't there anymore. The gas tax, you know, when we look at the automobiles that we have today compared to what we had 10 years ago, doesn't generate the money that we thought it could generate.
Well, now, to be fair, Senator Susio, as you know, will come up with figures and say that we're actually bringing in more money the last few years with the gas tax.
This is what he says.
Well, the picture that we had, and I always say that it goes to slide number 17 that was presented to us, shows a decline like it's going right down the hill. So I don't know what numbers he might be looking at, whether it's the wholesale tax is one thing compared to the gas tax. But right now, we are in dire straits. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I recommend anybody that would like to meet with me or the Transportation Committee or the Office of Policy Management that has these numbers to show you where we are at today.
Let's go to Adam in Waterbury. Adam, good morning. Good morning. Hello, Adam. Are you there?
Yes, good morning, guys. Good morning.
Okay, speak up, Adam.
Yeah, good morning. What I want to say is that the gross receipt tax, the Connecticut state tax, and the gas tax are supposed to take care of this stuff, and now we're back in the hole. Incompetency for the state of Connecticut should be in pay for all the leaders. You know, the legislator and the leaders of Connecticut thought that people have pockets of monies to throw away all the time, disposable income to pay for higher sales tax, to pay for higher property tax, to pay for now tolls. Where are people going to find this money from?
All right, let Tony answer the question. Go ahead.
Well, I guess the question was that was there a high...
Well, the gross receipts tax and the gas tax combined was supposed to pay for the infrastructure improvements.
Well, again, we're going back to the same issue. We don't have that money anymore. Cars are getting better gas mileage. The automobile industry right now says in 4 years, every car will have almost 54 miles per gallon. So we are not going to the gas pump as much as we did back in the 70s. Or in the 80s, where we'd go every 3 or 4 days, where we can generate that money. That money isn't there anymore. And, you know, we have to put things in perspective here. And I want to be very clear, because I've always been an upfront individual when it comes to any type of issue out there. We had a terrible accident in Stratford, Connecticut with these tolls, as we all remember. If we didn't have that accident, let's just go back. If we didn't have that accident, don't you believe we'd still have those tolls here today?
Absolutely we would. Yeah.
And if we did, wouldn't we be going right now to electronic tolling like they do in Massachusetts?
Yeah.
So why are we so against this? I mean, the issue is that there is no possibility of an accident happening, first of all. It's traveling on our highways at 60 miles per hour, and you pay for what you use. I mean, I just heard this morning, like, the Dan plan, like, you know, or Brad was saying. I have the option of buying those pants if I want to buy those pants if I want. If you use our roads, somebody's got to pay for it. So, you know, we've been paying for this for how many years? And people travel through our state without filling up or giving us one dime to help pay for our infrastructure. And if you look at our roads, and if someone could tell me that our roads are in good condition, then maybe I need to go out there and look at those roads. Because I'll tell you right now, they are falling apart.
Yeah, they are.
Our bridges are
they
bad.
Are.
Yeah. The American Institution of Engineers have come out with a report card and stated that the United States infrastructure needs $2 trillion to get it back up to par, and it gave us a D-plus rating. And Connecticut has issues of its own. So as a legislator, I am supposed to do what's right for the individuals of this state, to make it safe, to make it the best that we can do. And by putting electronic tolling, to me, is the fairest way possible.
Okay, we have to have a traffic break.
19 minutes go to David in Middletown. David, good morning, good morning.
Hey guys, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a couple of comments for the senator. Senator,
he's a representative. Don't put him in the Senate yet. He's a representative.
Okay. The representative, sorry. All right. First of all, the state of Connecticut, in the situation it's in, because of people like him and pretty much everybody else in his party, they have wasted money, gas tax money, which was supposed to go to a certain place, didn't go there.
David, we understand the history of this.
Hold on, I'm not done. I'm going somewhere with this. Okay? So that's the first problem. Okay? Second of all is I'd like to know, okay, how much are these tolls going to cost to build, maintain, and provide the necessary labor for? Okay,
that's a fair question.
That's a fair question. Let's get the answer.
Absolutely, and thank you for that question. First of all, yes, it's going to cost some money to put them up. There's no doubt about it.
Do we know how much?
I think when Boston, Massachusetts came in to testify, I think it was like $30 million to put these gantries up.
Across the state,
across
where you want
the
to put
state.
Them, okay.
All right, and then once they're up, Dave, all right, to maintain it is very, very small in regards to the overhaul of all the gantries out there. So basically, when we looked at the numbers, basically we would make, if you want to say, 70% on the dollar of what is revenues coming in, and 30% of it would go to maintaining it. So that's a huge number, if you think about it, in regards to how we make monies off these gantries. And second of all, Dave, too, if you don't have a transponder, because this was a question that's been raised to me during the committee, what happens to that? Do I get fined? You don't get fined. Obviously, we take a picture of the plate. It gets mailed to you. And the cost of that mailing, that administration fee, gets passed on to that individual that didn't have a transponder. Like, I went to go visit my daughter in Boston. I don't have a transponder. My bill was $3.30 plus an additional 70 cents for them to mail out the bill and the cost for them to do that.
So what would you hope to, once this is up and running, what would you hope to make a year?
I think with the numbers that they're looking at, it was like hundreds of millions of dollars over a 20-year period. Billions, I think it was. I think that's what I was told. I don't have the exact number.
Of which 70% we would use towards
our infrastructure.
And right. The other 30% is maintenance.
Maintenance.
Okay.
My question is, this infrastructure, and I'm out on the roads a lot too, we are in terrible, terrible condition.
The road infrastructure.
The roads, awful. Now, how are we going to fix the roads? Where is that money coming from?
If we don't use the tolls.
If we don't use the tolls. Well, where's the money coming from?
Thank you for asking that, Brad, because that is one of the best questions I could ever receive that I've talked about in my committee on interviews, and I will say this on the air today. All right? The federal government is basically broke. Let's not kid ourselves. All right? We have a president that wants to invest in the infrastructure, which if he does, they will have to borrow that money to give to us. They have had roadblocks for many states to say that you can't put up electronic tolling. That's done with. That's why they're saying, Connecticut, if you want to do it, we won't block what needs to be done for you to do that. Go ahead and do it, because we can't afford the infrastructure in the United States anymore. All right? They haven't raised the federal gas tax since 1993. Since 93.
That's right.
So think about the cost of everything that we buy compared to 1993 to today, and how much it costs to fix a road. All right? We just did a bridge out in Brantford. All right? That huge bridge out there. Billions of dollars. This isn't like a $100,000 project. Anytime you want to put a project out to bid, it costs millions of dollars, and you need the money to do that. And we have an infrastructure that was built in the 50s and in the 60s. All right? When we had the Berlin Turnpike, then we said, let's go to 95, 91, and 84. All right? Back then, let's be honest, families had one or two cars in their driveway back then. Today, you go buy houses, every child's got a car because they got to go to school with it. All right? You got three or four cars. Go on 91, go on 84, and you tell me how many cars are over there. It took me from Rocky Hill to get to your place this morning that I left at 6:15. I got here at 10 of 7.
Yeah. That, Brad, we saw it yesterday, Brad.
Of course right. We did.
Okay.
Same thing. You just answered the question.
Let's go back to the phones.
Mark in Plymouth. Mark, good morning. Good morning.
Hey, I just have a couple things to ask them, and I have a couple comments to make. My first one is, how much of my hard-earned money am I allowed to keep for myself? That's number one. Number two, I look at this being just another money grab and a ploy to redistribute, right, the present gas taxes that we get, we're already paying. Right? I think it's completely ridiculous. Number three, I think there's some issues about me having a transponder in my vehicle because the government does not have a right to know where I am every minute. Now, the last one is, when is the state going to be like an adult and live within their budget? Because I know I have to live within a budget. And if I can't afford something, I can't afford it. We're beholden to the unions, and you guys have not done anything yet to keep my hard-earned cash in my pocket. Now, I'm a divorced male with four kids in college, and I pay almost half my salary in some form of a tax. Now, my question is, how much am I allowed to keep my hard-earned money?
All right, let him answer.
All right, well, thank you, Mark, for that question. Mark, I understand the frustration that people have out there, but as a legislator, I was elected to do a job. So if I don't do my job, then I don't sleep well at night. And I mean that sincerely, Mark. I understand that you have a family, you have to provide this. But when I look at numbers and I see that the gas tax doesn't raise the revenue that it did 10 years ago to go to fix our roads and our bridges, and I see that, but if I want to turn a blind eye and say, I don't want to do anything about it, and then God forbid something bad happens, and I'm not just saying, like, I'm not going to try to scare people, say that the Miners Bridge, another bridge collapsed. It could be a piece of concrete that falls off a bridge that hits a car with a family of four or five in there and hits a guardrail, and God forbid you have fatalities in there or major injuries. What did I do as a legislator to help prevent that? I see a problem because the gas tax is going to be, mark my words, Mark, it's going to be obsolete probably in another 15 to 20 years, because these cars are going to be all electric, all hybrid. And Mark, I got some news for you, that within 20 years, these cars are going to drive themselves. We're seeing it already. So if that's the case, how often are these vehicles going to go to the gas pump and we're going to say, well, we can rely on that gas tax? You can't. That's the issue here. We live in a society that was used to a gas tax back 30 years ago, but technology has taken over, and these cars are much smarter, much faster, and trust me, get better gas mileage than we've ever seen. And that's the situation that the state of Connecticut's in. Not just Connecticut, every state across the United States. In fact, I just saw Georgia raise their gas tax by 40 cents to make up for $10 billion. And the governor came on, and this was on Good Morning America last Sunday, and said, even raising that amount of money now doesn't substantiate it, because what do we do to get more money? They can't just keep raising it. So this is what I'm saying. So either, you know, if we're going to be honest with each other, then okay, you don't want tolls, then tell me how else I should do this. You want to put another tax in and get rid of the gas tax? Throw it on the table. Let's have some hearings on it. I'm more than willing to listen. But when I've got people that are 30 to 40% of out-of-staters traveling on our roads, and you and I, Mark, have to pay for that, does that seem fair that you and I have to pay for those roads that they use? But if I go to New York, Boston, Florida, Delaware, Jersey, I have to help pay for that. Where is that being fair?
Okay, we're going
to
come up.
Coming up to 7:30, we're going to take a nude, Mary.
Yes, I guess I could say I'm one of those would've, could've, should've people that, you know, looked at the toll issue for years and have felt it was just another level of taxation. But I realize we are today where we are. And I wanted to, when talking with people on tolls, the biggest thing I hear is that drivers are going to try to avoid the tolls, and this will just increase congestion and wear and tear on local roads and be an added cost there. I was wondering what the representative felt on that issue, and are there any ways that perhaps through taxes or income tax that individuals might be given a discount on what is paid in tolls in the state of Connecticut?
Oh, thank you for that question, Mary. First of all, I'm a true believer that when people want to get to point A to point B, they're going to try to get there the fastest way possible. So, I mean, the argument has come always that they're going to try to divert and go off the highways. You know, I find it hard to believe for 50 cents, 70 cents, a dollar, that you're going to divert, maybe spend another half hour to try to get around all this.
And waste gas.
And there you go, and then try to get back on. And second of all, you know, if you do that, then you could have a gantry off that exit, so if they're trying to do that. So there are ways that we can stop that. Second, I do like the question in regards to discounts and maybe the income tax. And it's funny because Dan and I were just talking about that. If Dan Lavallo works in New York and is crossing many times compared to somebody like myself, then maybe Dan should have a discount on his state income tax to write off maybe 30 or 40% of that electronic toll bill. So that way he's not paying as much as, say, Tony Guerrero because he doesn't use it as much. Or maybe we give him a transponder with 30 clicks on it, and say he goes to work and he uses 60 clicks, but we'll give you the other 30 for free because you have used up those original 30. So there are always ways of doing this to try to accommodate people in Connecticut. But again, I just want to be clear here, is that we are in a predicament that the gas tax will not be a source of revenue to fix our roads within the next 10 years. We know that. The Office of Policy Management knows that. The legislative body knows that. And that is why I'm here today to try to have people understand that if we do this, it's a way of capturing out-of-state people coming through the state and giving us a discount in the state of Connecticut for people that use it, and also enable us to lower the gas tax by 2.5 cents. Now, I know that doesn't sound like a lot. I agree. But, you know, when's the last time we did lower a gas tax? So at least we can say that, okay, we're not the lowest, but guess what, guys? We're not the highest either.
Okay, 7:39, Waterbury Paul on the line. Paul, good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Representative Guerrero, thank you for coming in on the hot seat today. my question, though, Mr. Guerrero, is this. I agree with you on the point of these so many trucks on the highway. The big thing is this, Mr. Guerrero. What we have to do is, I'm for the tolls, okay. Second of all, we have to keep these way stations open. We have one up in Danbury and one up, and I think, around Union. What's happening, Mr. Guerrero? These trucks, I think years ago I worked for Carolina Freight, and the most we could put out on a 45-footer was 45,000 pounds. Some of these gypsy guys are coming through here with as high as 85,000, 90,000 pounds ruining our roads. And my last question, Representative, and again, thank you for coming on, is... the only thing I'm afraid of is, would they create another bureaucracy, per se, like having a separate division monitor this, these tolls and create another department where we have to hire more employees? And again, thank you very much for listening to my questions.
Thanks, Waterbury Paul.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul, for that question. Let me just tackle the last question part of it, then I'll go back to the trucks. No, we wouldn't have to create the Department of Transportation would be in charge of this, just like the state DOT for Massachusetts takes care of that. So therefore, we would have within the department of the Department of Transportation, obviously overseeing the electronic tolling part. So I don't believe that we would have to have this separate entity that we're paying to do that.
But would you have to hire more people in order to handle that?
I don't think so. I really don't. I think we would have enough staff. We may have to, in the beginning, Dan, obviously someone who's an expert in this, like somebody from Massachusetts, could come in and tell us how to do this and keep them on board for a little while until we understand all the ins and outs of it. But once it's rolling, you know, gentlemen, let's be honest here. If you're making 70 cents on the dollar here, that is a huge amount of revenue that we're receiving here. And therefore, even if we had to pay some extra people to do that, it would be all encompassed in that revenue that we're receiving. So therefore, it would work out to our benefit. And I have to agree with you in regards to the truck issue. Yes, we do need to keep the weigh stations open more, and you're absolutely correct. You know, those days of 45,000 pounds on those trucks are long gone. And they have been coming over at 80, 85, even 90
wow.
special permits.
And that does a number on our roads.
And
of course
it does.
It does
a number on our roads. And listen, I don't want to knock truckers because they do a great job and all that. And they bring goods to us, and you have to go through Boston and New York. They have to pay another amount of money already on top of that. But nevertheless, is it enough to substantiate the amount of damage that we're receiving? That's the question we need to ask. So thank you for that.
All right. Okay, it's 7:42, and let's go to Newington, Connecticut. I ask you, Christian, this is Newington. Bob in Newington. Robert, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Yes, Representative Guerrero, my question is, how are you going to handle the intrastate use of the highways? For example, you have somebody who lives in Rocky Hill, and they work in Hartford or Windsor or wherever, and they're constantly using 91 back and forth. Now, this is going to be an extra burden on them on their daily travel back and forth to work.
Okay, thank you for that question. Well, again, if the transponder, if you have a Connecticut transponder, and you go to work, say, in New Haven from Hartford, you would just have to pay from Hartford to New Haven. Now, given that because you're going to work, obviously, 20 days a month, 5 days a week, all right, we would give you a reduced transponder if you're using that. So, therefore, you would pay less compared to someone that's paying out of state. But you would only have to pay for that caption that you did. So it may only cost you like 40 cents for that ride to work and 40 cents coming back. Now, again, that might cost you $20 a month. But now if you reduce that to make it 20 cents because you're a Connecticut resident, now you're talking only $4 for that month. So therefore, it works out to our benefit being a Connecticut resident.
Okay.
Okay, we're going to take the
state of Connecticut.
I think we would probably be looking at some type of Easy Pass, Dan. And from my understanding is that these Easy Pass probably would work along the whole Northeast Corridor, Massachusetts, New York, Jersey, Delaware, all the way down to Florida. So therefore, one, because this is some of the questions I received, and I, to be quite honest with you, I was a little, you know, perplexed in regards to whether that could work or would you have to have separate transponders for each state. You don't need separate transponders. One transponder basically could work for the whole Northeast Corridor. In fact, to your point, Dan, is that when I met with the automobile industry a few months ago, that they're saying another 5 or 6 years that the new vehicles will have these transponders, GPS systems.
Really?
That
yeah.
will work basically built with in. All electronic tolling yeah. if you want. So that's what I'm saying. The technology is unbelievable yeah. out there. And it's amazing. So basically, you know, Dan Lavallo may not even need that. They just end up, you know, having this GPS system that knows where you are.
Just activate it in your car.
And that's it. Because, you know, one of the questions we received before is like, you know, I don't want people to know where I am. Listen, if you have a cell phone, they know where you are.
You bet.
If you have a GPS system in your car, they know where you are.
Yeah.
If you're not doing anything wrong, I get it. You don't want government, you know, intrusive in your business. But nevertheless, you know what I mean? If you have GPS or cell phones, they know where you are today.
You know something? And right now, even today, I mean, I get in my car some afternoon, this woman talking to me, and I don't even know what she's talking about or where I'm supposed to go. I mean, seriously, and that's
GPS
today.
System.
And, you know, and guys, we have to realize, this is a user fee. I mean, if Dan, right. if you're not using, or Brad, you're not using the highway, you're not going to get charged.
Okay. Right.
But why should other individuals travel through our state and not help pay for it?
I mean, you go to Newport, you go to Jersey, you go to Boston.
Go to the Cape.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And I'm not sitting there trying to divert off the highway to get back on the through Boston.
I know very few people who do that.
Do that.
I don't know anybody who does that.
Sandra in Hartford. Sandra, good morning. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. I'm listening to this, and it's very, very interesting. However, I do not want to have any tolls. And I feel as if the residents in Connecticut have had just too much of raising taxes, and so forth. They deal with $1 million worth of money when they don't have the money, and it's going to put us behind the eight ball.
What are we going to do? My question would be Sandra, what are we going to do to keep our bridges and our roads so they're passable? What can we do?
Well, then they need to use the money and do it, and they haven't been doing it for years, and that's why our roads and our bridges are not working now, because they didn't take care of it.
All right, Sandra, let's see what the representative has to say.
Tony? Well, thank you, Sandra, for that question. But, you know, Sandra, the issue comes down to is that we don't have the money anymore. So what we're doing is we're bonding projects, we're borrowing money. And at the end of the day, Sandra, you're right. You and I have to pay for that bill when it comes in. So what I'm saying is that this is a way of doing it that's fair for everyone, and also for people that use our bridges and our roads from out of state that help pay for it. Because, Sandra, you're the only one, and myself and the people of Connecticut, who have been flipping the bill to help pay for these roads. And we can't rely on something that's not there anymore. That's the issue here, that we have to realize that, okay, yes, use the money. What money, though? The gas tax was used to help our infrastructure. The gas tax revenue isn't there anymore. And that's the dilemma that we're dealing with. If someone wants to come up with a different plan, come see me. I'll be more than willing to sit with you. And as long as it doesn't affect everyone in this state in a way that we are being burdened by paying for it, then I'm willing to listen. But no one can come up with a plan that, to me, is fairer than using an electronic tolling that's a user fee.
753 Ling in Watertown. Ling, good morning, good morning.
Yes, good morning. The thing that I like to hear more, and I think Water Very Poor asked the question, and there wasn't a good enough answer, is will there be another layer of bureaucracy? And there was.
Ling, we lost you, but I think Ling wants to be assured, is this going to create another layer of bureaucracy within the Department of Transportation?
That's a good question.
Dan, I will tell you this. It is not my intention of creating another layer of bureaucracy. I don't know why we would have to do that. Again, we heard from the Department of Transportation, the Mass DOT, and I'm telling you, the amount of monies that they make when they testified made us all drop our jaws in regards to what they can do with that money. So I'm not trying to add this another bureau of bureaucracy. My job is to make sure that the people of this state have the safest and the best roads in the United States.
I think what people need to understand, I think most of them do, but again, we're not talking about a system that requires toll takers like in the old days.
No.
Yeah, absolutely. No. And you know, and some of this, like if it's EasyPass, as we all know, it's a set fee basically because Mass uses that. So again, we're going to have to, listen, just I want to be clear here with your callers because they've been great. And I know that a lot of them, you know, have some issues with this because, you know, there's a trust factor on this. Our job is to make sure that we try to do this in the most efficient manner, all right? If we have to put tolls up and we're losing money, I would never vote for something like that. That is why when I first saw this and I saw the return of revenue on this, it's astronomical. And that's why other states have it. That's why other states are going to this. That's why Massachusetts knocked down their toll booths and put up the electronic tolling. If it wasn't working, they wouldn't have it. And that's why Massachusetts is growing and other states are growing in regards to infrastructure rebuilding. And we need to do that. We're behind the eight ball already. Us allowing to do this will help get us out of this rut
and start improving our infrastructure, which means goods and services can travel through the state in a more efficient manner, and Brad and Dan don't have to wait in traffic for like 20 minutes or to an hour, because I think there was a poll that was taken that people spend almost a week worth of time on the highways in regards to traffic. That is a lot of time. You may not think so, but let's be honest. When you're stuck in traffic, all right, you want to get home.
Tell
right?
me about
and
it.
And we need to do that. And I can't think of a better way, and I said this, for us to do that in a way that captures the out-of-staters in a user-fee fashion than electronic tolling. And Connecticut doesn't lose any monies in regards to the Federal Highway Administration, and we can give our state residents a discount. And I'm more than willing to sit down with anybody to try to work on this. If they come up with a better idea of how to implement this, believe me, I'm more than willing to work with my colleagues across the aisle and with the aisle.
Okay, we have time for one quick one here. Maria in Rocky Hill. Maria, we just got a couple minutes, so go ahead.
Okay, and good morning. And Tony, I can call you Tony. We've met on so many times. Always came to my church, Pumpkin Fest, every year.
Oh, yes.
So I feel I can call you Tony. But what about the Merritt Parkway?
All right, that's a good question. What about the parkways?
Yes, the Merritt Park. First of all, good morning, Maria. The Merritt Parkway would have to put that. We'd have to put those gantries on those too, because obviously there's a lot of cars traveling on the Merritt Parkway. So it would be like an I-95, I-84, I-91, the Merritt Parkway, because we don't want people diverting going on a Merritt, causing issues there. It has to be fair for everyone. That's what I'm saying, because then out-of-staters will use the Merritt Parkway and then travel through our state not paying anything, and therefore it defeats the purpose of what we're trying to do here.
Okay, that's a great question, Maria. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's about it, Dan.
Yeah, we're about out of time. I know we have more calls, but Representative, you'll come back, right?
I would love to come back.
The only reason Tony's not staying is because he has a meeting at 8:30 that he's got to make. But we'll come back. Dan, this is a huge issue, and we're going to do as much as we can.
Okay, we have a minute left. I have not met a Republican yet who is for tolls. Have you?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
All right, yes, I have. I don't know if I should call his name out, but he is a legislator.
Okay, but so you have...
Oh, yes.
All right.
Oh, yes, because they agree. Dan, I think what people have to understand, what are we going to do? I mean, I can go back and, yes, you know, we should have used this. We should have done that. I can't do that. I'm here now to say this is the issue we've been dealing with. 5 years ago, I've been trying to tell people we were going to be in this predicament, and now it's come true. We should have implemented them 4 years ago. We should have passed the bill, and today we wouldn't be in this predicament. It's there. It's true. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Now, because we're running out of time, Hartford Current, had us a story today. Lead story seems to indicate that this toll thing probably is not going to happen. What do you say to that?
Well, they can be wrong too.
Again, I think if you read the story too, that you know some of the leaders saying that they don't have on the Republican side that they don't have a lot of votes on their side to pass this, and right, there's no initiative for them to do that. I think it's inevitable. All right, and I think you have to look at that situation. I think a lot of Republicans are looking at that too. In fact, a lot of them on my committee said they would, you know, they could see them voting for something like this. Maybe if we lowered the gas tax a little bit more. But we have to be careful. I don't want to, you know, lower the gas tax so much that I raise electronic tolls so high. So there's got to be a balance here, and that's my purpose. And I think they know that, because I have had a few of them that said, I'm with you on this, Tony.
Okay. Tony, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks
a million. Thank you, gentlemen. Yeah. Thank you very much.
We're going to have you back here. Don't you worry.
I'd love to come back.
Right. Don't you worry. Thanks.